Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Vital Point Church. My name is Ron. I'm the pastor here at Vital Point. We believe that it's important for people to explore and grow in their faith. And my hope, my prayer is that this message that you're listening to will draw you closer to better understanding how you can live out your faith journey in the everyday life. Sit back and enjoy.
How's it going, Vital Point? My name is David. I'm part of the teaching team here at Vital Point Church, and I'm also the site leader of our Exeter location. If you're new to Vital Point today, you're joining in, I just want to say welcome. It's exciting that you're joining today and hanging out and gathering and exploring and growing in this. If you call Vital Point Church your home church, I just want to say it's great to see you again. Another incredible week that we get to hang out. When we look at the Christian faith, that's what we do here at Vital Point Church. When we look at the Christian faith, whether you're far down the road of that journey, or maybe you're beginning that journey of exploring and growing in faith, figuring it out, questioning it, when we look at it, there's an understanding that the Christian faith boils down to becoming formed into Jesus, more like the image of Jesus. This formation happens through intentional practices that give room for the qualities and characteristics of Jesus to be formed in us. Like we've chatted earlier in this series, Pastor Ron, he said that they've mentioned that the Apostle Paul, a guy that writes a lot of the New Testament letters in the book of the Bible, a lot of these things he says in Galatians 4:19, we've mentioned it earlier in our series, he says that he longs for Christ, that he prays, that he hopes for Christ to be fully developed in the believers. That's for in his day and age, and also for us today as well, that we would be formed fully into developing believers of Christ. And through this series, we've begun to uncover some of the more ancient practices of the spiritual growth. And these practices, they might seem or feel a little bit old school, but they are the practices that align us to the rhythm and flow of the life of Jesus. See, faith is an experience, but when you open it up, begin to think, discuss, question the roots of it, you'll discover that these patterns and routines are forming Jesus inside of us to become more like him. People say and argue that Jesus was able to do the things that he did because he was fully God. We do believe that here at Vital Point, that he was fully God, but he was also fully human. He took on the human flesh. And when he did that, he needed to find and to develop these practices in his own life. And through that, in his life, he had 30 years of developing more into the life that brought him closest to the Father. And we're supposed to mirror those things, become those things, form into those things. And saying that, that brings us to our conversation today. Now, you might know or you might not know, but there's this nagging sense are all around us that we don't ever have enough. We often have this nagging sense that would result in so many of us are saying, well, I don't have enough time in my day, or I don't have enough money in the bank account, or I don't have enough things for me to experience or have. And we often feel torn in multiple directions where it's leaving us tired, out of control, and actually leading not to just mental fatigue, but physical fatigue. My question is, when we look at the life of Jesus, and that's what we do here, when we look at it and open up the scriptures and the letters of his life, is there a practice, the way that Jesus lived, that would allow us to be set free from the false promise that we are living in right now, that we need to consume more, that we need to have more? Can we be set free from that with looking at the life of Jesus and the practices of the way he lived? And I say, yes, there is. It's the practice of simplicity. So today's conversation, I want to invite you into a conversation all around that practice of simplicity. Now, many of you might be thinking, okay, that's a buzzword. Like, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. I don't want to become a minimalist, so I'm hopping off this right now. But no, I want you to pause for a second. I'm not asking you to become a minimalist. I'm not asking you to sell all your stuff and just live simpler. No, I'm asking you and inviting you into a conversation where you be open to see how Jesus taught about this and how he lived this out so that we may be changed into him, formed into him. See, practicing simplicity is one of the many beautiful parts of the formation that leads us into being like Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. He teaches on this a lot, actually, in the New Testament. He teaches this a lot, and I want to take us to Luke chapter 12. So if you got your Bible with you, open it up. If you don't, I'll read it for you. Chapter 12, verses 13 to 15. It says this. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured on how much you own." I want to take your attention to that verse 15. Life is not measured on how much you know own. I don't know about you, but in my life, I have felt that. My life has been measured very much on how much I have. I can remember so many times as a teenager and as a young adult still, looking at the people around me and being like, man, their life is so much better. It's so much more full. It looks so much more real and vibrant. Look at my life. Is that an internal battle? Yes, it is, that I have to deal with and that we have to deal with. But here's the thing. When you look into culture, you look into why do we desire more? Why do we lean into the false promise that consuming more and having more is where life truly is? Look at this quote from Paul Mazur. This is a few years ago, a little far back, that he says this when it comes to consumerism. Because here comes something, when we open it up, this verse, not this verse, this quote from Paul Mazur, it's interesting you see how we've been trained and manipulated and become vulnerable to desiring more. He says this, "We must shift America from a needs culture to a desires culture. People must be trained to desire, to want new things even before the old have been entirely consumed. We must shape a new mentality. Man's desires must overshadow his needs." This quote actually comes from this North American, Paul Mazur, right after World War II, where he noticed that the propaganda that Hitler had on his country and his people and manipulated people, he brought this propaganda that had power and unity, and it showed that you can persuade people. And Paul Mazur said, we need to bring this to our culture for desiring, to consume, to buy, to bring back the economy, to make people want to desire and have things and have everything, the next best thing. And as people of power gained the confidence of running a country and became influential on a nation into consumerism, we are now influenced by greed and the love of having more money, more things, more stuff, more experiences, more everything. If you don't believe me, listen to these stats on our culture right now. We as humans, on average, see 5,000 ads per day. That's scrolling Instagram, Facebook, all the things on your phone, driving. That's 5,000 per day you see on average. We consume 2 times more goods than we did 50 years ago. Like 50 years ago is not a long time ago. Like my dad's 51 this year. It's crazy to think that we consume 2 times more than we did 50 years ago. The average home has tripled in size. 25% of those homes with 2-car garages don't have room for their 2 cars to park in the garage due to clutter and things. 32% of those homes that have 2-car garages only have room for 1 car in that garage. And listen to this. The average person is $15,000 in debt just on their credit card. That's not their home, their line of credits, their cars, their school debt, just a credit card. We as a Western culture have been controlled by greed, consumerism. Greed ultimately leads us down the path of sabotage and destruction. Greed always leaves us feeling and saying, well, if I just had a little bit of more of this, then I'd be happy. If I had a little bit more money in the bank account, then we'd be able to have a fun, full life. And that's because greed has been controlling us. And I'll be honest with you right now. As I was studying and looking at these verses from Luke chapter 12, I did not feel worthy or equipped to be able to teach on this or guide us through a conversation because I have had greed control my heart. I've had greed control my eyes, my ears, and my mind of what life looks like, what success looks like, what a true family looks like. And I just want to ask you, will you please extend grace to me as we go through this conversation? Because I pray and hope today that through this practice of simplicity, if we can begin this in our day, we can begin this in our life, that we will be transformed more into like Jesus. And I just pray that you give me grace as we dive through this thing. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 12 again. and we're going to add a few verses onto the end of that. So we're going to start at 13 and go all the way to 21, and I'll give us a little bit more context to what Jesus is talking about here. So 13, he says, "Then someone called from the crowd, 'Teacher, please tell my brother to divide my father's estate with me.'" Something's interesting about this guy. He's trying to get Jesus to affirm this man's greed. Saying he's like, "Hey, dude, like, tell my bro that he has to split it with me. That I deserve the split of the estate. I want it. I should have it." And then it goes on to say like this. Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured on how much you own." Something's very beautiful about Jesus saying, "Beware, guard yourself against greed." And what's happening here is he's saying it twice because there's an urgency that the people and us need to understand and to see and to feel. Very much in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, if you go back there, writers would say things multiple times to get the point across. And Jesus is doing the same thing with, "Beware, guard yourself, because greed can control your life." There's an urgency. Then it goes on to say, Jesus saying this, then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all of my crops." Like this guy, it's been translated that it should say, God probably blessed this man to have the best crops around. And he's seeing that he has brought it to himself, not God. He has been blessed by God, but he's seeing what he has done, not what God has done. And he says to himself, "What should I do with all of my crops?" Like, it's no one else is around him to have the same problem as him. Verse 18, then he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and make bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all of my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" I heard a teacher and a preacher say, this is in a Western culture, "Look at the business I have made. Look at the empire I have created for myself. I can sell it all, I can invest, and I can eat, marry, travel, and be happy. Because look what I have done." Verse 20 and 21, Jesus says this, "But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you have worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." That word fool is interesting because commentaries and other theologians would say it should be translated to stupidity. Stupidity is the right word because this guy has been acting out of stupidity. He's not thinking with a clear mind. He's seeing all that he has done and he's putting it on himself. He's being stupid with his estate, his blessings, his life. He's measured his life by what he has. See, when we look into this parable, and Jesus taught through parables where it gave a glimpse of what, or a glimpse or a whole picture of what it means to live in the kingdom of God, living, honoring him. And see, when you read these few verses, we're given a view of Jesus' authority and the awareness that he has of our human flesh. He feels the desire as well. He knows what the human flesh wants, but he fights that, and he has an authority over the awareness of the human flesh and how we're constantly battling the desire of more things and more stuff. Jesus had the awareness and the authority over it that 25% of his teachings in the New Testament in his life were on money and possessions. That should be like a red flag for us. Like, man, I should really be on guard. I should really be aware of where I'm seeing my life. Where do I measure my life? Jesus knew when we consume things, experiences, toys, places, homes, when we consume things, ultimately what we consume will consume our heart. And when we begin to understand the life of Jesus, you'll be able to know that Jesus was actually wanting to protect our heart. This is why he said, "Beware. Be on guard." And his teachings are interesting and profound around this because when you look at the depth of Luke chapter 12, the depth of it is a reality check. A reality check of what our flesh and our desires and the advertising around us has done to us and to our minds. He's bringing it to our attention. Like, your life is not measured by what you have, dude. Trust me, because it could be gone just like that. Then what's your life measured on? Where's your full life then that you thought you had? I've got to be honest here. thinking about this simplicity and the reality check and the greed and the desire of more and the false love of these things, of consuming more, is leading us to a full life. When I sense this and I feel this, is many of us are not living in reality of what life is. It might be hard to hear that because it's hard for me to say it, because I've noticed that sometimes I'm not living in what a true life is. We've been duped into a false love that our things bring us life. We put so much value in what we have, but just this past month, I've been feeling this in my life where I actually consumed myself with the thought that I needed a new iPad because the battery dies a little bit faster. I started searching and diving into it and trying to convince my wife that I needed a new iPad because my friends were getting them. They were getting new phones. And I felt like, man, like I'm stuck in 2015. My battery's dying faster. Like, it's going to consume my mind when I'm teaching and preaching. It would suck if it died while I was up here. And I started making these assumptions that my life would be more full, how I could show off, have this big new iPad. And that's where my life was. And I was putting so much time and energy, and that hit me right in the square in the chest when I started studying for this series of simplicity in this day to talk about this, because ultimately I was putting energy, money, value, and how my life looked to others. The show-off life. Look what I have. I could show it off. I can invite people over to experience the things that I have that they might not have. And that's where life is. The full life is the show-off life. But the show-off life, guess what? It just ends up in consuming more and more and more and corrupting our hearts even more and more and more. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of that. I'm tired of consuming and running off my feet just trying to buy the next thing, experience the next thing, just because there's ads out there telling me that I need them. That's where life is. See, Jesus and the New Testament writers all agree that a full life is not achieved by the money or the possessions that you have or what you can show off. But the full life is found in a life that calls us to simplicity, being formed into Jesus. This is why the life of Jesus is so influential around this, because he practiced it. Now my question is, how do we take simplicity serious? How do we defeat the lie that we've all been duped into to desire more? And I've come to the conclusion that simplicity, for many of us, is going to look different because we've been wired a little bit differently. We have different jobs. Our lives are all a little bit different. But simplicity is going to look different for us because we just can't all be the same. Jesus hasn't all called us to be the same in our lives, but he's called us to simplicity. So we need to own our own version of simplicity with him at the center of it. My wife Hannah and I, we've been trying our absolute best over the last 4 to 6 months to really push away the consumerism culture in our life and in our home and in our hearts. This is why verse 15 in chapter 12 of Luke needs to be so clear for us today. The beware, guard yourself against all greed, because the thing about greed is it poisons us. It poisons our eyes and our hearts towards others. If you look at the guy confronting Jesus saying, hey man, like my bro, tell him that I deserve half of the state. It's consumed him the way he sees his brother. He only puts value in his brother if his brother gives what he thinks he deserves. He's blinded by the consumerism. Here's the thing though, and we need to be clear on this. You might be thinking, well, yeah, I feel it, I sense it, I know it, I can kind of tell that I've kind of been duped. I'm constantly spending money, I'm constantly doing new things just because I feel like I have to, I desire more. I actually want to start taking the steps of a life of simplicity. Before you can own your simplicity, you need to know what simplicity is not. You need to know what simplicity is not so you can actually step and walk forward in the life that God has called you to through the life of Jesus. See, simplicity is not, one, a style or architecture. Now, this is funny because many of us hear simplicity or the word minimalism when we think it's like an all-white home, slick edge furniture, a little over here, a little over there. If I look like I have less, then I actually look like I have more. Simplicity is not a style or architecture. It's also not organizing your stuff. Trust me, it's not. Because what's interesting, when you hear about the organizing of your stuff, you're essentially putting value in the things that you have. You might have something in your home that you have not used for years upon years, but when you organize it, you are putting value in that spot like it needs to be there. And when you organize it, ultimately what you're doing is making room for more things. We put value in our things. So simplicity is not organizing. Simplicity is also not a fad or a trend, and this is huge right now. It's not a fad or a trend because what's happening in our world right now, there's so many influencers, YouTubers out there, they're all great. But what happens is we get on their fads, we get on their trends. And what happens is they start saying, you know what, I'm clearing all of my stuff. I'm making my life a little bit easier. You should do it as well. So we get on those trends. We get on those fads and we start moving forward. We start getting rid of stuff. We put it on Facebook Marketplace. We sell. It's great. We make some money. But what happens is when we get duped into that, what usually happens with those people who are influencing us, they're usually paid right after, say, hey, look, now that you have all this room, you need this. You should buy this. You need this to make your life better. Now that you have room, you should have this. Simplicity is not a style or architecture. It's not organizing your stuff, and it's also not a fad or a trend. So what is true simplicity? Listen to these writers, what they say about true simplicity. John Mark Comer says, limiting the number of our possessions, expenses, activities, and social obligations to a level where we can freely live joyfully in the kingdom with Jesus. That's John Mark Comer. Jan Johnson says this, intentionally arranging our life around God. Not our things, not our possessions, around God. Simplicity is the number one way to shape our life to a margin that ultimately brings us closer to the Creator, closer to Jesus, closer to the Holy Spirit. I define it like this. If we have less, desire less, there are less distractions in our relationship with God. Simplicity also aligns our life so that we may be able to love with an open heart and a mind. And when we begin to have an open heart and mind that is clear, it leads to an outward living of peace, love, generosity, and joy to others around us because we have found the inner peace, the inner love, the inner generosity, and inner joy for ourselves through Jesus in the practice of simplicity. Think of simplicity for a second. I'm amazed that the practice of simplicity actually brings us closer to Jesus, actually allows us to experience him even more. Because when we defeat the lie of culture, we can begin to align with the purpose God has called us to. And that's bring joy, glory, and honor to his name. How do we do that when we're running off our feet, getting to the next best toy or the next best experience? We can't. We're consumed by those things. So we can't live that calling out. That joy, that honoring, that praising, that lifting up of God. I want us to get real for a second. Realize something right now that we're living in, this cultural moment. Simplicity is interesting what we're going through right now. So if you think about this for a second, our world is looking very different, extremely different. If we were having this conversation before COVID-19, I'd probably tell you to sell 5 things this week and see how it feels. Live a simpler life. But that's not our reality right now. With the world pandemic and the outbreak of COVID-19, we need to notice and realize that we have been forced to live a simpler life the last 3 to 4 months. Now, I know things are opening up and we're going to be able to hustle and grind a little bit harder and go shopping. And I hope and pray that you don't just go back into the old. Life is going to look different, but don't go back into the old. But realize something here. There's been a divine interruption where we need to step back from our lives for a moment and realize and begin to ask the question, what stays and what goes? What stays in our life and what goes? I get it. We're going to go back to things opening up. But this is the chance for us to take a massive step in our spiritual growth, a massive step in our spiritual formation. It's a system reboot, you could call it. A system reboot where we can look at every area of our life and say, what is distracting me from becoming more like Jesus? What is distracting me from growing with my family? What is distracting me from being covered in love and grace and mercy to my neighbors and my coworkers and my friends? What would our new normal look like if we came out of this with a simplistic mindset? of less gets us closer to the Father, of less gets us closer to the desire that Jesus has for us to be formed into Him, to love others, to walk with a pep in our step where we can live out that love, live out that generosity with a simplistic mindset. A friend shared this quote with me that rocked my world about our cultural moment. It says this, Brené Brown says this, "Our pre-corona existence was not normal other than we normalized," are you ready for it? "We normalized greed, iniquity, exhaustion, depletion, extraction, disconnection, confusion, rage, and hoarding." She also goes on to say, "We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity." What are we going to do with this now? I get emotional because I believe and I hope and I pray that simplicity would be more than just a mindset, but it would be an act of living for us. But here's the thing, we need to start where we are at right now. And this may mean that we need to take small steps of asking for our hearts and our minds to be changed, to live more intentional with simplicity. But if you're not a follower of Jesus today, maybe your first steps today is actually taking the moment and saying, you know what? I'm going to invite the love of Jesus into my life. I'm going to invite that grace and that forgiveness into my life, where it's a small act, but a life-changing decision, an eternal decision. We're saying, I'm inviting you into my life so that I can live simpler, so I can live closer to the Father, so I can live closer to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, where I know that my full life actually comes from the love of Jesus, which is simpler than any other thing that you're going to buy or experience in your life. What if we as Christ followers and people exploring faith came back from this with a different look on success, a different look on possessions? Could we adapt better? Could we make better choices? Because here's the thing. Simplicity is going to change our hearts internally. But the best part about the internal transformation is the outward living. The internal love turns to external love to our family and our friends. The simple living of generosity turns us into radical generosity to our outward friends. It transforms us so we can have a deep contentment that no other thing can give us. The deep contentment that only God can provide. And that's a relationship with Him and His Son and the Holy Spirit. Simplicity. How can we make this a true reality? If we have less, desire less, there's less distractions in our relationship with God. Listen to this song. Such a great song. I love the words of, "I've carried a burden." Many of us are feeling that we've carried the burden of always wanting to consume, always wanting to consume more and desire more. And my prayer and hope today is, with the practice of simplicity, that you would be able to run to the Father with this and say, "I'm done carrying this burden of desiring more, buying more, and wanting more." I pray that we could have a more simpler life. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to take this moment to just say thank you for your Son Jesus and the life that He lived, that He showed us what it meant to live a life of simplicity that brought us closer to our purpose, closer to your desire for us. And I pray that as we finish today, as we go on our week, that we would walk with faith, that we would walk with a new heart, with a new eyes, and a life that may say, "I'm going to live simpler this week." And I just pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining Vital Point Church Online. Have a great week, and God bless.